Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings, they're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Club and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself, because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hello and welcome back to the Yori Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
We have our first WWYBD of 2025. This is our Q&A segment. You guys send in questions on our website anonymously, and we do our best to answer them. We have some very fun questions today that we are excited to get into. But first, as always, we will catch up for 15, 20 minutes, share our peaks of the week, and then get into the questions.
Yes. Okay. It's been a couple weeks since we caught up. What is new with you?
I have had a weird mentally 2 weeks where I feel like my nervous system is the most regulated it's ever been. And it feels so unnatural because I was so used to the last decade, like working so hard, having such a busy schedule, juggling all of these things, figuring out, quote, what I wanted to do with my life. And now I feel like of the goals I had a year ago, or the, quote, like problems I had, I solved a lot of them or got where I wanted to be. And now I'm like twiddling my thumbs. It feels so weird. I don't really know what to do with myself. And I'm really grateful. And I feel like I was running this race and now I'm like at the top of a mountain and I'm like trying to enjoy the view. And a lot of it, I think, was getting down here and getting moved to just eliminate distractions. I feel like I had a lot of distractions in the US. And now that I can pinpoint what those are, I feel like I could move back to the US with more awareness of that. But even between the shop and virtual assistants, and then my personal assistant here, she comes like 5 days a week. I have 15 people that I'm outsourcing things to that I've like outsourced almost all of my work and personal tasks that I'm like, oh, what do I do? So I like have been going to the gym and I go for my walk and go out for lunch and I'm like, oh, it's 10 a.m. I still have the whole day. What am I supposed to do with myself? It's great. It's just really weird. And I also haven't drank coffee or espresso or alcohol in over a month. And I think that's a big part of it, not feeling this like internal adrenaline that both of those substances give me, where I feel like then I have to keep doing more. So I don't know. It's been a nice 2 weeks since we talked last, but I just feel like I have my life so together that I'm like, now what? I have like so much space for something.
Wow. Especially as you being the number one coffee lover. I know. This is a major update.
It's so weird. Cold turkey just fully ripped the band-aid.
And I was going to ask.
And I just had to make like a commitment of like, I'm just going to try it. Because honestly, I feel like coffee had more of a chokehold over me than like anything.
Mm.
Like, you know, anytime we've been on a trip, like if we were away from a coffee shop, I'd have to like, I didn't even want to get ready or hang out and chat. I'm like, no, I'm going to go for a walk or go get an Uber to get coffee and come back and then we can start stuff. Like,
that's like normal. Yeah.
I would go to bed being like, oh, I can't wait for my morning coffee. So I was like, it's a problem.
No, like, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, but like, that is so normal for people here. Like, that's my dad. That's so many people I know. And that's just, yeah, I was going to ask how you quit. So that's really good that it was just cold turkey and that has helped you feel regulated, that nervous system.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been a culmination of so many things. But then once all of the other stuff started to really fall in place, I was like, wait, what do I need coffee for? Because it's not like I have this insurmountable to-do list. It's not like I'm under crushing pressure. Like, what am I getting all caffeinated up for? So I realized it was mostly because I like the taste of coffee and I like the routine and making it and the smell and having that moment with myself in the morning. But then because I didn't have enough to like use that jitter for, the sensitivity to it started getting more and more. Like I could barely finish a cup. Like I would notice I'd make it and it would still literally be full. And I was like, whoa, I think I'm not enjoying this as much anymore. I've had a few matchas, maybe like 3 in a month, which even that I used to have like 2 coffees in the morning, maybe 3, like 1 in the late. And then I'd have a matcha in the afternoon.
The afternoon matcha run across the street.
Exactly.
It's supposed to cement it into your routine.
I know. Now I'm like, who am I without cups of black coffee every morning?
But so now what's your refreshing go-to beverage?
I've been making ginger tea because the process, I feel like, takes about the same amount of time as making the black coffee because I would grind the beans, do the pour over, like the whole thing, get it a nice bloom. And I've been trying to perfect my ginger tea recipe. Do you like ginger tea?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really make it at home. I think I'll just order it if I'm out somewhere and I don't want coffee. But I don't even know if that's really, I usually get like a mint tea first. That's like third choice. I feel like not many places have that. But I love ginger, big ginger proponent.
Yeah, I feel like not a lot of places have it and definitely not a lot of places have fresh ginger tea. Like usually it would just be like a packet. But okay, I guess I also, in this time gap that I've been in, I've been studying Ayurveda so much. And that also helped regulate my nervous system because I found out that I'm mostly kapha. And with kapha, you're supposed to eat warm foods. And I don't eat that many warmer cooked foods because I'm a lazy cook. And I usually think about eating like as I'm hungry or since it's hot here, like fresh cold fruit, cold smoothies, a salad is like what sounds good. But I think that that's what led to a lot of like my inflammation and bloating is because I was eating too many foods that were really hard for my body to digest. So I've been having a ton of soups and the ginger tea and warm, like even, what do they call it? Stewing fruit. You like warm the fruit up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You like boil it and put a little honey in. And then I'll put that like on my oatmeal or my yogurt. It's definitely different. I prefer it fresh and cold, but I think that's also made me feel way better and not so like heavy after a meal.
And what got you into the Ayurveda?
I was at, there's an Indian restaurant, so sad, my favorite one here. They are going out of business or something, details undisclosed. They had a suspended sign on their front door and they were like, yeah, we can't really say something with the government. I don't know if like there was permit issues or what, but the food was incredible. And so on their last night of being open, we were like, of course we have to go and support. And we were there for like 6 hours, just hanging out, talking with the owners, playing cards with like other customers, just vibing. And it was so weird because right when we sat down, I said out loud to Clay, oh, I just really want to know more about Ayurveda. Like it had kept coming into my orbit. And then I got a ginger tea there and our waiter, like I said, we were there for a long time. And I was like, can I have another ginger tea? And he was like, he like took my pulse and he was like, no. And I was like, what? Excuse me? Like this is also like another time in Tulum. I got one black coffee and the waiter told me I couldn't have another one. Like where else do you go in the world where the waiter is like concerned about your well-being? They're like, no, you can't have another one. I was like, can you explain? And he was like, well, I don't know, for your type. I was like, how do you know my type? And he was like, I can tell just by looking at you. And he was like, what time did you wake up? And I was like, 7. And he was like, what else did you have today? And I was like, I already had a ginger tea for breakfast. He was like, oh, definitely not then. And so he gave me some tips of what I should be doing for my type. And then the 3 other people that came and sat with us that we were playing cards with, they were all super into it and were getting things based off of their type. I was like, I mean, I guess we were at an Indian Ayurveda restaurant, so it made sense that that type of clientele was coming there. But I was like, this is not something, I would never go to a restaurant in Omaha and have 4 people be like, oh, I'm ordering this because of my dosha type.
That's just words I've literally never heard before in my life.
Yeah. Highly recommend looking into it. It's very fun. There's 3 main types, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And I can link a free test in the show notes. I actually think it's so helpful to even have a general understanding because it will tell you like, oh, if you have an imbalance of this, like too much, do these things to counteract it. So how I said I was feeling like bloated and inflamed, and that will make me feel like lethargic. To counteract having too much kapha energy, I need to have a workout before 10 a.m. And my biggest meal of the day, which I think that might be for all of them, is to have at lunchtime. That's when your digestive fire is at its strongest. And so you're really not supposed to have your biggest meal for dinner and then just like not move after that. And that's why, you know, we start to feel like so full and heavy. You eat this massive dinner and then you just watch TV or you stay in your house. And so if you're going to have a big dinner, they say before 7 p.m. and make sure to do some sort of movement after it. So even like that little bit has been like profoundly life-changing, like so simple, but maybe that's why it's attainable.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I can eat by 7 p.m. That's like very doable.
Very small changes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Well, definitely please link that. Any other updates?
No, it's good enough for now. I can always tell if you and I don't record together for a few weeks. It's like, guys out there, like I have so much to tell you. Like in
there's
one
literally
week,
so many things.
Yeah.
We could do a daily show and have updates every single day.
No, for sure. I won't put that pressure on us, but we could do it.
Truly, I feel like both of us are just, there's always something new. But
I know.
I guess updates here. Casually house hunting. I've been in my house now for over 4 years. The same house we bought in January 2021. It's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. So I don't know. After 4 years, I'm like, it's definitely a starter home. And it's the best starter home. Really, really liked being here. Would like to find something with maybe 2 bathrooms. Is that a lot to ask? You know, just like another one. So that I have Connor's in the bathroom and I'm not like dying. I don't have to wait. Or just when we have guests, sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish we had more space. Because then I just make my office our guest bedroom. And it's definitely a little tight. So that's casual because there's no need. Like we could be in this house for probably another 4 years and we would just be fine. But I feel like it's good to start the look before you actually need it. So then when the opportunity comes, like you're ready. So we looked at a house yesterday. It was super cute. I can see why people get attached to houses and then they don't get them and they get sad. I'm not getting sad. I'm just trusting in the universe and God. Like I'm like, he's going to give us what we deserve. Like I'm not getting attached to anything. But the one yesterday was pretty amazing. It had like this beautiful sunroom. It was 3 bedrooms, 3 baths, massive basement. So much light. And I feel like going to the house yesterday, I'm like, dang, my house could have more light. There's only a couple rooms that I can really film in or do content stuff in because I think it's the direction. I feel like it's goals when you face south, like a south facing apartment or house. And that one was facing south and we face like northeast or something. So it's not the best, but
and it's like the warmth of the light. I feel like when the windows are south facing, the light is warmer and brighter. And then on the north side, you're getting like the cast of it.
Yeah.
But your house is amazing.
Oh my gosh,
it's so cute.
Thank you. Yeah. That's why I'm like, this is not a need. This is definitely just a want. Like we really, it would just be maybe sometime in the next year or two. Who knows?
Apparently, to clarify, in St. Louis.
Yeah, in St. Louis. Yeah. Hopefully still by where we are because we really like the area that we're in. It's walkable to coffee shops and restaurants. Like I literally have a coffee today that we walked and got. So I would like to stay in this area, but I'm open to somewhere different because I do love the walkability. If the house was really cool on the inside, maybe that could convince me to be in a less walkable area. I don't know. Things are open to however it goes. And then just another random update. I'm on week 10 of my 1-2-3 Legree workout program that I got from my brother-in-law, Julian, his company Ripped Coaching put this together. And I'm excited to give like a final update once I finish it. It's been good. I feel like strength training plus Legree or plus any form of Pilates is definitely the way to go if you're not seeing results or if you feel like you want to take it to the next level.
Well, that's amazing. Commend you for that. That's 2.5 months. That's a lot of consistency. And on the house hunting, that sounds like it would add a fun dose of inspiration weekly, especially if you could go to an open house like on a Saturday or Sunday each weekend, start getting ideas. I think it's so fun to go in open houses.
Oh, yeah. And just like you said, see how other people are styling. I agree. That's such a good point. That reminds me, I need to hit some estate sales up for that exact same reason, too, because I've not been to an estate sale in a while. But those are the best for walking through and just like seeing people's houses and being such a creep.
People have cool houses and cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like in both open houses and estate sales, you see a very different type of living than what we see on social media. Because I feel like a lot of social media is more like mainstream, newer construction, kind of like the same aesthetics a lot of the time.
1,000%.
And then when you actually get to see inside something outside of that bubble, It's like, oh, whoa, this was just like down my street. I had no idea.
1,000%. Also, I will say, I don't know if I said this on the podcast before, but some of these houses that have been flipped are driving me nuts. Have we said this?
I don't think so.
I saw there was a listing for the most beautiful mid-century modern house. On the outside, it was this cool, like they'd painted it, but you could tell it was like a really cool mid-century modern ranch style home. Also on the inside, they painted the whole thing white. They like gutted the kitchen, then they put in like farm doors. I'm like, what are we doing? If you guys want to ruin your day, I'll include the listing in the show notes. But, like, I'm not even an architect, but I can understand that you don't do certain things to certain style houses. Like, they just completely gave the flipper special on this beautiful mid-century modern house. And I was like, oh, why? Why are they, like, just the farm? Like, you know those barn sliding doors you'll put? I'm like, this is a hate crime.
Yeah, put that on a farmhouse.
Yeah.
Because I think the outside and the inside should have some congruency. Like, there's hardcore mid-century modern lovers out there that would have preferred it and loved it, I'm sure, if they changed nothing.
Exactly. And also, you can totally upgrade a mid-century modern home into a very tasteful modern way. This one was just crazy. I feel like it would be a viral TikTok of people just, I don't know, maybe I am more passionate about home design than I think. But I was like, this is the most crazy, insane resell or flip of a home that just has so much value. And they just like throw it all down the drain and put an ugly freaking wallpaper in the guest bathroom. Yeah, some of these houses, that is one of the parts of house hunting. I'm like, why are all these flippers, how you're saying, doing the same style and it's outdated? But I guess people buy it. So that's why they keep doing it. It's like the all white special, the all white kitchen, the like diamond geometric backsplash and the, or like tiles in the showers and the bathrooms, wallpaper. I'm like, oh my God.
I know.
But on the bright side, we're going to find a house that does not fall under those parameters.
True. And that's why you're doing it ahead of time. So you can see a wide scope of inventory, find the one that's perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Should we do Peaks of the Week?
Yes. I am going to Merida tomorrow. Merida. Mm-hmm. M-E-R-I-D-A. I should know how to say it properly because I've been there and I live in Mexico. But it's on the north part of the Yucatan Peninsula. So I think it's like 3.5 hours away from Tulum. And this trip is stemmed from, yes, because I need a little change of scenery. But I don't know if you guys know this about me, but Google reviews are my bread and butter. I love nothing more than leaving Google reviews. I think it's so fun. I have hundreds of reviews on my Google guide page, and I'm like a level whatever local guide. And I get a DM from this girl that was like, hey, I found your Google local guide account and like I loved your reviews and I would love to offer you like a complimentary rental car to just like have for a day or two. And if you'd leave me a good Google review. And I actually had reached out to this company before I had a moped just to try to rent a car and they were sold out. So, and I think it's okay because I would have rented from them at some point anyway. Because it's technically like you're not allowed to incentivize Google reviews. But I was like, okay, I would love to use a rental car. Where should I go? And Merida is like a nice distance away. So I felt like, okay, we can still do it in a weekend. And so my friend Liz is going to come with me and we're just going to make a cute girls weekend out of it. And I'm looking forward to it because I haven't been in quite a few years. And I do think it's quite different than Tulum. And even though I love Tulum, it's a bubble. I was with one of my friends at lunch today. Clay and I went and we like ran into him and he was like, how are you? I'm like, fine. He's like, still loving Tulum? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I can see it in your eyes. It's lost its luster. And I was like, yeah, I just feel like I've been here for so long now. Like, of course I still like it, but the difference of like when I got here and I was 2 weeks in, I mean, I'm sure it happens anywhere. Like imagine moving to New York City when you're 19, you're like, oh, this is the coolest place ever. After a while, you're like, ah. It has its quirks. Like every place has its highs and lows. So I am just actually really excited to leave for a weekend.
Yeah. And that's the point of living in a different country is exploring the other cities nearby and taking advantage of those opportunities. That sounds like a great weekend.
Exactly. Yeah. How about you?
I'm going to say my peak of the week has not happened yet. It's going to be after this. So I hope it goes well. But I'm going to the park. I'm going to Forest Park. And I'm going to have a little picnic, a little sunset picnic. I have a little picnic basket and blanket that I got at a antique market all the way back in Williamsburg when I lived in Brooklyn. And it's my go-to Forest Park picnic blanket. There's an area called Art Hill where on the weekends or weeknights, you see everyone spread out. Everyone's hanging out on this big hill in their blankets and kids are running around, people, their dogs, blowing bubbles, flying kites. So I'm going to go enjoy that tonight. Maybe Connor will come with me. I hope I can convince him. So TBD. And yeah, I feel like that's just something I'm looking forward to. And that'll be a fun way to kick off the weekend.
Oh, that sounds like a very fun quintessential April weekend activity.
Absolutely. Okay, let's read your guys' peaks. Oh, this is similar to what I was saying with my updates. Blooming Rose said, finally finding a house my husband and I love and putting down an offer. Well, I hope everything works out and I hope you get that house. So good luck.
Eric said, had another successful trip to Manzanita and listened to the pod the whole way down. Love that for you. Thank you for listening. And I also love the destination, Manzanita, Oregon. Clay and I went a couple summers ago with his family for like a fun summer family trip. If you guys are ever thinking of going to Cannon Beach and want what you have in mind that is Cannon Beach, go to Manzanita. It's like less touristy, cuter, not so many people. Highly recommend.
Mads said, getting back into my running groove and training for my second half marathon. Congratulations. Good luck with all that. I feel like running is having a huge, I don't know, I feel like I'm seeing everyone running. My friends are training for marathons. I'm seeing all over social media. So good for you. That's very, very impressive.
I'm agreeing with the running. I'm about to go for a run after we get off.
Wow.
I think it's something with the spring. It's like, oh, you've been cooped up in your house in the winter. So there's this like, oh, I want to like get out and go.
Yeah. Good for everybody. I love it. Maybe I'll take up running. TBD.
And Nicole said, completed 40 days of no social media, feeling lighter. I can imagine. That's fantastic. I haven't really been on social media that much either. And I think that's also contributing to the regulated nervous system. Who would have thought? Better sleep, eating right, not so much caffeine, not so much alcohol. You feel better. It's like people have been saying that forever.
That's crazy. As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram page, All Your Friends Podcast.
As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere? I know I have, and what I've learned is that a lot of these issues are tied to hormonal imbalances. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, today's sponsor. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking this quiz,
you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me some personalized insights into what might be happening with my hormones and how I can feel better. One of the recommendations I got was taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And it's an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system. It doesn't just help with progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, but it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which is a huge troublemaker that can contribute to weight gain, fatigue, and many other things. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It's become such an essential part of many women's daily routines with over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds. The results speak for themselves. In fact, a survey found that 86% of women lost weight and 77% saw an improved mood, while 100% said they felt like themselves again. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute Hormone Harmony quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with our code ALREADYFRIENDS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ALREADYFRIENDS for 15% off today.
Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
All right, getting into our questions. Again, we pulled these from our website, artyfriendspodcast.com. Go to the WWYBD tab and submit your question there. If you have something to ask us, give us all the details when you submit them. It makes them more fun if we have all the context. And I think now we're back on track because we don't have another long series planned. That's why we had taken a break, because we were doing our How to Thrive in 2025 series to kick off the year. But now we're back. Last Wednesday of every month will be this format.
Perfect. Well, question number one, kind of an easier one, lighter one to start out with. Can you be friends with someone who is also friends with somebody that you don't really like?
I have this with various people.
Yeah, I'm like, don't we all have this?
I feel like maybe they catch on, or like you've told them and they could have some context. But then after that, I feel like it dissolves into the background as just like a known thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that we've said on the podcast before. We always find it interesting how you could be so close to someone and click so well with somebody, and then they can have a friend that is so opposite from you, so different, and they also click really well. That does not mean that you have to click with that person too. I have a situation that I'm thinking of where I kind of just, it's nothing that serious, you know, but I did tell our mutual friend, I'm like, hey, this person, I leave these interactions feeling drained. I feel like I can't keep up with what we're doing when we're all together. If that's okay, I'd rather just hang out with you. But, you know, if it happens to be all of us together again, I don't care. No stress. But I feel like through letting that person know that I prefer when it's not with the other person there, then we don't set up things with that person. And then like, I still get to hang out with that friend. We still have an amazing relationship, still one of my best friends. But it's not like I have to put up with someone who, again, I love that they're compatible. No hate to that person. There's really nothing wrong with that person. It's just not my cup of tea. And yeah, then I don't have to put myself in these friendship circles or situations or hangouts that just drain me.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it's fine. Like, we all know quite a lot of people, or through your significant other, if you have one, or your siblings, like, there's going to be people that are like one away from someone that you really love that you just don't like that much. Like, I can think of so many situations over the years, even siblings dating someone or siblings having a friend that you're like, yeah, this person's just annoying, or this rubs me the wrong way about them. But I think it's fine. And as you said, if it's stated once so that then you guys don't have to be in the same room as often as possible, I think that's ideal. And then that doesn't put your mutual in an uncomfortable situation as often as possible, unless it's like a big celebration or something. So I would say my final answer is, I think you definitely can be friends with someone who you don't really like. as long as it's not causing drama and as long as it's not like hurting you so much because either you're like jealous or comparing or letting that other person's energy like into your world if you don't want it.
Yes. And I guess I will clarify that as long as you feel safe communicating that to your mutual friend, that they're not going to go tell that person, because I have had that happen where there was somebody, this girl is no longer in the group. They're not even friends with this girl anymore. But I had mentioned that something that someone else did kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And she went and told that person. I'm like, girl, that is literally number one rule against girl code. Don't go and tell the person I just told you I don't like, that I don't like them. And it was this whole ordeal and it was super awkward. Turns out, yeah, that girl, again, is not really friends with my friends anymore. But as long as you can trust that person's not going to say anything, I feel like that is just life. Like, we are not all going to get along with everybody. I think your friend is going to understand. And hopefully they can still love you both and just spend separate time with both of you.
If you need a fake version of how to see this play out, watch Virgin River. It's amazing to me how in that show, like, basically all the characters are either like an ex or like an ex best friend or like crossed in some ways, and everyone figures out how to get along more or less. And I feel like it's actually a good example. Like, they have good conversations. So it's like, wow, that's admirable. I know it's a show, but there's some nuggets that can be taken away into real life.
All right, there you go.
Okay, question number two. This is a long one. I work in corporate America and just got laid off due to budget cuts. I have a good background in the corporate world, but hate the fact that I work for companies that literally don't care about me at all. In order to pay my bills and provide for my family, I pretty much have to stay in a corporate 9-to-5 with benefits. I had my own business at one point and loved it, but wasn't able to balance both. How do I stay working in corporate America without feeling like I'm just a number or that I'm sacrificing my sanity? I'm getting so discouraged with the job search and desperately want to find the right place for me long term, but it doesn't seem like that is what corporations in America want. The days of having a stable job and retiring at the company with years under your belt is so long gone. How do I keep my mindset right going through all this hunting, rejection, and hard times?
Yeah, this is unfortunately the reality that our grandparents once had the luxury of living, where you stay at a company and you're there for 30 years and then you retire and they have a big party for you and then you go into the retirement benefits. Like, unless you're a teacher or a firefighter, there's only a couple other ones, right, that have this luxury of staying there forever and then you get the nice retirement benefits. But yes, you're right. This reality is definitely, unfortunately, long gone. I would say I have a friend going through this right now, is at a company, is very overworked, feels very discouraged, does not feel appreciated. She has recently been interviewing and is finalizing moving over to a family-owned company here in St. Louis. And I feel like that is a really good alternative. If you can find like a local, maybe 20 employees or less, family-owned company, I feel like that is where you hear of people being treated very well. They have a lot of values. It's not you're one of 25,000 employees. I don't know if this is the helpful advice that maybe you're looking for, but I just know that with one situation, my friend, you know, it was a friend from high school that she had reached out to when she was starting her new job search, because she's like, I can't stay at this company for forever. And yeah, it's her family's company. And she just feels like it's going to be a really good fit of just getting along with people who are real and have those familial values. So I don't know. Allison, what are your thoughts?
My advice is to run away. What do they say now? The new American dream is leaving it. But honestly, it works for me. And it is really sad how expensive it is to live in America. And I don't feel like I could have reached the regulated nervous system in the 6-8 months, I guess, that I did from when I left, if I had stayed in the same bubble. Now I feel like I have some tools to equip me for the future, depending on where we go, because I finally slowed down enough to be like, okay, what do I want? What do I not want? What distractions are in my life? What relationships and friendships are serving me? And obviously, it's not possible for everyone, but for other people listening, like, if you're young and you're fed up, and especially if you don't have kids yet or you don't have school-aged kids, like, the cost of living in other places, or even if you're somewhere in the US where the cost of living is just insane, or you're in a lease or a mortgage that's making you feel so claustrophobic, I think a lot of what I've learned over the last year is, like, we put ourselves in these situations as well. Like, yes, it's a systematic problem and it can be really hard to escape like, okay, I have to have this corporate job. I have to work 9 to 5. I have to provide for my family. But like also we're programmed to think that way. And we make ourselves so busy. We think we have to buy like everyone all these gifts for every holiday. We think we have to have like the nicest car. We think we have to do all of this stuff. And then you have to, then you work so hard and then you're exhausted and it's like a never ending cycle. So I would also challenge you to reflect and slow down. Like in this time, you might be feeling like, what more could I do to solve this problem? But I think a lot of times the answer is like, what can you like take away, like simplify it so that you can have some breathing room? Because if you're always in fight or flight, you're not going to be able to figure out what you actually want. And clearly, you know, you don't like your situation, but since you don't have the answer, I think it's because you're probably moving too fast in order to really sit with yourself and figure out what that could look like. And there are solutions. Like I even saw a really cool video about this girl and her friends. They moved into like a communal housing situation. There's like 10 of them. And each week they all pay a certain amount for groceries. And then each night someone else cooks. And so their grocery bill is way lower. They get this amazing home-cooked meal every single night. It's different and you're splitting that effort. So I really feel like a lot of what culture in America is missing is that like village community sense of like helping each other. Like a lot of people feel like they're alone on an island, but you have all of these people across America alone suffering on their own island instead of being like, wait, how can we carpool? Could we switch off for dinners? Like, okay, maybe you guys move into like a big house. Maybe there's multi-generational families living together. Maybe you live with a sibling. Maybe you lean on your family for watching your kids so you don't have so much daycare expenses. Like being willing to ask for help and reciprocate with someone who might have a need that you can solve, I think is what really makes us feel like we belong somewhere and we're valued and less like a rat, just like every day, like wake up, okay, it's Groundhog Day, same thing again and again.
Yeah. And I guess going back to how do you keep your mindset right, going through all the hunting, rejection, and hard times. I know you said you got laid off due to budget cuts. I've been there, got laid off due to budget cuts. You have to remind yourself that this is honestly better than getting fired. It wasn't your fault. I feel like you have to remind yourself of all the good things you did. If you haven't already, write down all of your accomplishments at your last job, hype yourself up. Every time you're getting rejected, it's just redirection. I feel like you need to talk positive thoughts into yourself of reminding yourself why you're a rock star, because that confidence is going to show up with you in those job interviews. And there was some really good advice on last week's episode with Kiara Maggs. She says, everyone needs to have their own elevator pitch down. Practice in the shower. Say in 60 seconds what value you provide, how you do it, give some numbers. But if you don't have a strong elevator pitch, even to tell yourself, she says she'll write her elevator pitch and put it on her mirror, or like the things that are great about herself on her mirror so that she sees it every morning. Just keep reminding yourself what value you provide, why you're a rock star, because I feel like that's going to be that uplifting energy you need when those rejection letters and those rejection emails come through, because they're going to happen. It's 100% part of the process. Yeah.
And echoing off that, that's like the culture of corporate, right? If you feel like you're just a number, that's part of like the culture and the programming is that you are insignificant. You don't matter. Oh, we don't need you, lay off. Like, oh, you're struggling with your family. Okay, sorry. Like that's part of corporate America. Like it's just kind of a fact, I think, in most companies. And so I think if you can look at that without the emotion of just being like, yeah, these companies just want like worker bees. They're not hiring people based off of the other stuff that like a startup or a small family owned company might be looking for. And if you can maybe detach from that a little bit and be like, oh, okay, let me look at the positives of that. Well, I can kind of disappear into the background if I want. If I take a day off, maybe no one notices, to where if you are at a smaller company, it's intimate, it's vulnerable. People like know what's going on in your life. And so there's pros and cons to both. And the nice things about corporate, like I don't have healthcare. If something happens to me, well, who knows? Like there are things about a corporate job. Like I have no idea what I'm going to make ever at any month for the rest of my life. And I haven't for 10 years. And so that's like a downside, I guess, maybe, of the lifestyle I've chosen. And I think we can always glamorize the other side where like someone in corporate is like, oh, it would just be so amazing to have all of this free time and do these things. But then if you can't handle not knowing how much you're going to make the next month, or if you can't handle maybe not having health insurance or this big paycheck, even if you go on maternity leave or maybe even paternal leave, or if you get sick or you have PTO, and I know not every company has those things, but if you're a business owner, you might not have those luxuries. So I think each route of like career path in America has its pros and cons. And maybe during this time, it might be helpful to think about the benefits of the corporate world, because alternative routes might not have those things.
Yeah. All in all, I think you kind of already said it in your question, but keep your mindset positive. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable and share on your LinkedIn or share with your social network or your in real life network what's going on, because I feel like people can offer you resources or opportunities that you don't know are out there if you don't start telling people. But yeah, just don't let it get to you, because I don't think you could find, if it's rare, it's rare to find somebody at the end of their career who didn't have something very similar happen. So happens to the best of us, even the most talented people. And I feel like you're going to have an opportunity to come your way that's maybe even better than you could ever imagine.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right. Question number three. Hi, guys. I don't usually reach out for advice or seek outside perspectives, but I've been following you both for a while and truly value what you have to say. Long story short, I am having a complete quarter life crisis. How do you balance the reality that life isn't fair and that success requires relentless effort while simultaneously watching others in your circle seem to progress with far less struggle? For perspective, I spent years in a retail job that didn't value me and took complete advantage of me. I took a leap of faith to advance my career and got laid off just 2 months later. My worst fear came true. After 6 months of searching, I landed another corporate role, only to be laid off 4 months in, and I'm still in the dreaded job search. As I approach my late 20s, I'm eager to build stability, enjoy life, and start traveling, but every step forward feels like two steps back. Meanwhile, I see others have hallmark moments and move to other corporate roles with ease, even with completely unrelated degrees, even in this awful job market. I've cold emailed companies, networked in person online, have been referred to, refined my resume and cover letters endlessly, yet I'm still not going anywhere. If this were my only challenge, I could accept it more easily, but it feels like every part of my life, career, social, relationships, and beyond is unfolding in the same frustrating way. I never got the chance to move away for college and experience that newfound freedom, which still gets under my skin sometimes. I've never had a close-knit friend group to make memories with, nor a family dynamic that heals me. I feel stuck in the same routine, and therapy has been a slow process for me. I know I'm in a period of waiting, and while one door may close, another opportunity is bound to open. I can't believe I'm at the age that I'm at, where a younger me saw a fully functioning adult. Meanwhile, I still feel like a child inside, seeing everyone my age around me as an adult. What more can I do? At what point for you guys did your breakthrough happen when you least expected it? And more importantly, how do I keep from falling into a victim mentality while navigating this?
This is a lot. I think you might have a cloud of, I don't want to go as far as doom, but maybe like pessimism that's then affecting how you're viewing each of these areas of life, because how you said, I wish I could accept it more easily, but I feel like it's every part of my life. And your emotions rule your mood. So if you're having prolonged periods of sadness and depression and discouraged, feeling hopeless, feeling like you don't have friends, then that will contribute to a mood, which is an overarching experience, like the way you look at your life. And it sounds like these individual pieces that made you sad or disappointed or hurt you in some way have now contributed to this overall mood that maybe isn't as optimistic and hopeful and jubilant as you would like it to be. And I think you have great self-awareness to recognize the situation you're in, and you're doing the part of looking at each aspect of your life and that you want it to change. But now it seems like there needs to be like the action behind it. And I think social media has done a huge disservice to all of us and making us think that other people always have wins or that it was easy for them. And I feel like in 99% of cases, it's really not. You're just only seeing a portion, a highlighted portion of someone's life. And it's really unfair to you to compare your whole person experience to this little sliver of what you're seeing of someone else. And I think a lot of people do work really hard. I think a lot of people are really talented. I think a lot of people have sacrificed a lot. They stay up late, they're learning, they're networking, they're at the gym in the morning, they're not giving into sweet treats, they're putting boundaries on social media. Like, we all have areas where we're like doing well. And people usually see the areas that like look good to other people. And as not as often do we see the areas where people are falling short, because all of us have this natural tendency to compare and be competitive. And we don't want to be like the left behind person who's not evolving and growing. But I think you can now channel some of this frustration that you have at the point you're at and really use it to be like, no, F this. Like, I don't want to feel this way anymore. Like, this is on me. I'm going to make some changes and just focus on one area at a time. Like, you saying you didn't get to make friends just because you didn't go out of college. Like, you can make friends anywhere. I didn't go out of state for college. A lot of people don't. You can still make friends no matter where you live, no matter how old you are. Your friends don't have to be your same age. You didn't have to be in a sorority or a fraternity to have friends to travel with. You can join Facebook groups and meet people to travel with now. Like, there are solutions to all of these things. And I think it's great that you're in therapy, but that's also not like an end-all solution. You're talking through these things, which I think has allowed you the awareness to know what's going on. But again, I think it's really just coming down to like taking action.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my first thoughts when we were reading this. Action, like, do something different. You need to change something. And with that, yeah, definitely the viewpoint, you hit the nail on the head, because I was thinking that too. I'm like, why do some of these have to be negative? Like, I saw my friend McCall, I'll link her in the show notes too. She made an amazing post. She was like, some people could say, I'm 30 and I had to move home with my parents and I got out of a long relationship that I thought was the one and now I'm starting over. And you could look at that so negatively, but she's like, or I could say, this is so awesome. I'm so young. I'm only 30 and I get to move back in with my parents and spend time with them and make more memories together. And it's so exciting. I get to go on dates and meet new people and find the right guy for me, because I didn't end up with someone that wasn't going to be the one. And now I don't see divorce. Like, she just reframed everything so positively. And I feel like that's what you need to do. I think you need to write down everything that you think is negative and find if there's a way you can put a spin on it and see the positive in it. And if not, then make that drastic change. I know you're saying that's very hard. It's a very hard job market right now. Even with that, can you take an interim job in between, like a bartending job? Or like for me, I beer carted for 6 months in between figuring out what my next role was going to be. And that was not a full-time thing. I'm like, this is fun. Like, this is where I do think that main character energy that is really cheesy and corny that caught on. I feel like this is where a time where that applies very well. And it is a useful tool. It's like, no, add some main character energy to this. You're bartending in between. Make it fun. Look at the positive of it. Look at what you can learn from this experience that is not what you want to do, but who you can meet and the random skills that maybe in an interview you could say, you know what? I have been bartending while on this job search and I've learned amazing customer service skills. I've totally improved how I manage problems when someone's disappointed. And now my old job, I was sitting behind a desk all day and I feel like through interacting with thousands of people a day, I know how to manage expectations or I know what to do when someone's upset. You can use the bad job or the less desirable job that you're going to have before you land that dream job as a learning lesson for what's going to get you to where you want to be.
And since the last two questions both had to do so much with career, I also want to remind you guys like how America has kind of brainwashed us to prioritize our career over everything else. That is like the foundation of our country. And that's why America's in the position it is. You know, like you can start a business. It is, I think America's like a business. As a business owner, it's you have a never-ending market of customers because people are not doing that well emotionally or physically. You can tell our country has a lot of problems with mental and physical health and illnesses. And so what do people do when they're not feeling well? They buy things because they want something to fix their problems. And if you travel outside of the US and really immerse yourself in other cultures, you see how people are not defined by their job. Like I can have conversations with people here for 2 hours and not even know, never talk about their work, not even know what they do. And when we identify so much of our success or who we are based off of our career, which a lot of times you don't have that much control over, or you don't feel like this is your passion or your dying dream, if that's what you're basing your self-worth on, and then you get fired or there's a budget cut or the economy crashes, then there goes your self-worth right along with it. And how can you invest in other areas of your life where you're like, no, I'm a worthwhile for so many reasons. I have so much going for me. A job is a place I make money and it allows me to do these other things in my life. And I really think we've kind of been fed that like if you have this great job, it will solve your other problems. But I think you actually need to work backwards. Like if even if you make more money or you do get that better job, is that going to make you feel less lonely at the end of the day? Is that going to give you friends to travel with? Is that going to give you your dream body? No, it's just going to put more money in your bank account. Like, and then if you're still unhappy, then you will find a way to spend that money on other self-sabotaging things. And I'm not saying this specifically at you, the person that answered or asked this question. And I'm also speaking like from personal experience of now kind of seeing both sides, where it's just sad. I think that we put so much pressure on ourselves to be these career man, boss bitch, like all of the terms where it's like, okay, but how are you as a friend? How are you as a partner? Take this time to heal those family dynamics. Take this time to learn a hobby. Pick up a second language. Like there really is so much more to life than defining yourself by your career.
Dan, I guess last thing I'll say for when this person asks, at what point did you guys have your breakthrough of getting out of that victim mentality? I feel like a quote that might resonate is, if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. And in this moment, you can change everything. If you're staying where you are, change your style, change how you talk. Like I listened to Diary of a CEO podcast and one of his guests was a voice coach and talked about how our voices impact how people perceive us and impact how you get a job or confidence or all that stuff. And he was challenging Stephen to change his voice to go higher and lower. And Stephen was like, that's just not who I am. I don't talk that high. He's like, why? Your voice is not your voice permanently forever. You could change your voice right now. And that's not who you were before. And I feel like that's the same with everything. If you're finding it difficult to make friends, change something. I mean, if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. So hopefully that will resonate. And hopefully this inspires you to figure out a way that you can get through all this.
All right. Last question. Number 5. How do you decide where you want to live? My fiance is a pilot and gets to choose one of 80 locations around the country to be stationed in. We've narrowed it down a bit, but he told me that since my job is more location dependent and I'll likely be spending time alone while he works, I can make the final decision. He's obviously willing to talk about it with me, but things will be the same for him no matter where we go.
Okay. Fiance sounds like a king. I like this man. I love that he's letting you choose. I mean, this is a green flag if I've ever heard one. I would say, I feel like we've answered this question before, so hopefully we're not sounding too repetitive, but make a list of things that you want out of your dream city. Do you want to live by body of water? Are you a big hiker, mountains? Do you like community? Do you want to save money? You want to save money, maybe you can pick a less desirable area. I think with whatever you're looking for, and maybe if you don't even know what you're looking for, maybe think about what you like where you currently live or when you've gone on vacation or what types of places you typically like to visit and spend time in. Are there any similarities with those? Then maybe you can hopefully cross-reference that list and see which ones are a yes, which ones are a no. Because I will say, if there's a more popular city, like if one of those 80 locations is in LA or New York or San Diego, maybe the cost of living is going to be higher, but you're getting all these amazing benefits of being in that city versus being in a smaller city where maybe you'll have more money to travel. Because maybe if your priorities are traveling internationally or visiting friends and family, maybe you have a lot of weddings, maybe somewhere where you're saving more money is a priority. So I think always going with a pros and cons list, listing out things that you really like, and then seeing which destinations on that list match your priorities.
That's fabulous advice. I don't think I have too much to add to that. The now 30-year-old in me is also like taking into consideration different tax things. Like if you want to buy a house, what are the property taxes like? What are the income taxes like? Because now that I'm not living in the US, but I still have residency in Nebraska, I'm like, this is kind of crazy that I still have to pay really high Nebraska income taxes. So I think I'm going to switch to having my residency in Wyoming because I'm like, why would I pay state income tax? I'm not even living there. And there's pros and cons of each state. Like if one state has higher income tax, they might have lower property tax. And so if you're not buying a house, then maybe you don't care about the property tax. Versus just different states have different stipulations. Like I really could see a future of the United States where it's like 10 different states because there's like, there are many countries. Like California,
there are 10 different countries, right? Sorry, you said 10 different states.
So yeah,
but
yeah,
I knew
what
you meant. 10 different regions or countries, yeah. Instead
yeah,
of,
like more like Europe because we've evolved so much. Like the United States is massive. The people who live in Georgia's lifestyle is very different than the people who live in Oregon, who live in Oklahoma to Vermont. And I think you really have to think about your day-to-day life and what sort of lifestyle and community resonates the most with you, because you really are the majority of the five people you spend the most time with. And if you have the incredible opportunity to decide what you want that to be, that's amazing. So few people get an opportunity like that. So you are literally in this position to handpick your future. What type of friends do you want? What type of community? Do you want to walk to little coffee shops in a park, or do you want to take the subway? Do you want to be going snowboarding on the weekends, or do you never want to see snow again in your life? Like, and also know if you don't like it, you can leave after a couple of years or even sooner. Yeah. Like nothing is permanent. And even if it's your job, like if your fiance is a pilot, he probably has pretty good job security in that. And if there's some periods where maybe you're in between jobs, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah. And if you want to get really crazy, find some flight attendants or other pilots that live in these cities and DM them and be like, hey, we're thinking about moving here. Do you have any thoughts? How do you like living in the city? Or just find some people. I feel like McKenna has gotten DMs from other travel nurses when she'd be like, I'm a travel nurse in Austin. People would message her and be like, how do you like it? So that's a random piece of advice. Can you message some people that are similar to your age demographic that live in that city? Just shoot your shot and be like, hey, do you have any insight on what it's like to live there? Thanks so much. I bet you could get some good information.
Yeah, that's solid. I love that.
Okay, well, that is all our questions for today. Thank you guys so much for being here for another What Would Your Best You Do? We'll be back next month with another segment.
And we'll still be back next week, as usual, just with our non-Q&A style.
Absolutely.
As always, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.